This is Philip H. Anselmo.
Hey, everybody, this is Ricky Rackman from Headbangers Ball.
Hey, guys, this is Aaron from Betraying the Martyrs.
Hey, what's up? This is Mike D. from Killswitch Engage.
Hey, this is Scooter Word from Cold.
And you are listening to.
Talk to me. With Joshua.
What is up, congregation? Welcome into Talk To Me, episode 223. The guest this week is Scooter Ward of Cold. They have a great new album coming out September 13th on Napalm Records, The Thing We Can't Stop. And it's definitely something you do not want to stop because it's new Cold. It's been 8 years since the last album. Lots of starts and stops over the last 8 years, which we talk about in the interview. But it is here. It is coming out. September 13th, Napalm Records. Make sure you do your pre-order now to get your bundle or whatever you need to get some more Cold in your life. Getting into this interview, I thought about, you know, my history with Cold. And I remember being a young man. 1997, my band at the time, we got to open for the mighty Limp Bizkit. Yes, that Limp Bizkit. And we were the kings of local music in Nashville, Tennessee. 1997, Kings of Nashville. And we got the opening slot. And when Limp Bizkit shows up, they have a band with them on tour. And they actually asked, is like, hey, is it cool if you guys go on first, this other band goes on second, and then Limp Bizkit goes on third? And we're like, no, man, we've worked our asses off. We flyered. We did everything else. Like, we wanted to go on right before Limp Bizkit. And then Limp Bizkit basically says, all right, well, if you don't accept this, then you're off the bill. And we're like, fine, we'll take it. And that middle band ended up being Cold. That was a great band, great night. Great to see those guys live for the first time 22 years ago. And now getting a new Cold album, getting Scooter on the podcast, a band I've always loved. And it was just great to have him on the show. So speaking of things that are great to have on the show, let's talk a little bit about Scott Bowling and Good Company with Bowling down in Atlanta, Georgia.
My name is Scott Bowling. I have a show called Good Company. Good Company is a show where we film artists in the rock genre and we talk about their first record all the way to where they are now. We've interviewed bands like Korn and Seven Dust and Rich Ward. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook under Good Company or Good Company with Bowling. So please, if you get a chance, check it out.
Good Company!
All right, guys, make sure you are checking out Good Company with Bowling over at scottgoodcompany.com or check out their YouTube channel, Good Company with Bowling. Make sure you let them know the Talk To Me podcast sent you. Make sure you guys are signing up for the Talk To Me Facebook group, the Talk To Me congregation. Go over there, check it out. We're doing a lot of great stuff daily. We've added the web person. She's sending out so much cool stuff, making some cool memes. The Mike D'Antonio, the Mike D of Killswitch Engage meme, was awesome. Little video clip from the Dave Ellefson interview. Awesome. Huge thank you to Blabbermouth for picking up the Dave Ellefson of Megadeth interview. It's cool to get some rock and pod info out there on the Blabbermouths. And it's great to see those guys, you know, picking up the show. Every time they pick up a show, no matter how many times they've done it, it's always special and it always boosts the numbers. And I just love it. So make sure you're checking out the Talk To Me congregation on Facebook, Talk To Me podcast on Instagram. The Talk To Me Facebook page is just facebook.com/talktometalk, Twitter @talktometalk, or you can email the show directly, talktometalk@gmail.com. Send over your comments, questions, concerns. And I will get back to you. Also, guys, you know our friends over at MerchLive.com have come on to support the Talk To Me podcast. Not only are they doing interviews with me in their magazine, they are also doing a nice thing for you guys, the listeners of the Talk To Me podcast. You can head over to MerchLive.com, go through all of their great t-shirts. They have so many cool bundles. Just scrolling through right now. Black Sabbath, Motorhead, Pantera, Tool, Korn, Guns N' Roses, CBGBs, Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, collections by all those bands, and even the man Johnny Cash. So go over to MerchLive.com, shop till you drop, use the promo code TOOMEY10, that's TOOMEY10, at checkout for 10% off your order. And check out next month's Merch Live magazine, which is another interview from the Talk To Me podcast in print. You just don't understand how cool that is for me. I know I get a ton of listeners on the show, But to have actual physical copies of your interviews, I mean, I grew up sitting in Kroger at the grocery store, sitting in the magazine aisle, just flipping through Circus and Rip, Hit Parader, Metal Edge, Metal Maniacs, all of them. And so for them to put my interviews into Merch Live magazine, I'm like a full-on real-life journalist at this point. Awesome. Check out merchlive.com. To Me 10 at checkout, 10% off your order. Go over and support those guys. It's a homegrown company, and they're doing great stuff over there. Alex and the Merch Live people. Again, To Me 10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. So, let's get back to the matter at hand. New Cold album, The Thing We Can't Stop, September 13th, Napalm Records. Scooter Ward comes on the show. We talk about writing Stupid Girl with Rivers Cuomo, him meeting Ross Robinson. They just recently got on stage with Breaking Benjamin. Loudwire says it's like one of the most anticipated albums of the year. And we just get into the writing of this album. So without any more of my ramblings, let's check out some classic Cold. Talk to Scooter Ward. Here's some new Cold, maybe a bonus Cold song, and then I will talk to you momentarily.
Come on. right, guys, we have a Scooter Ward of Cold on the line. The Thing We Can't Stop out September 13th, Napalm Records. Scooter, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's always a good time when you get some new Cold out there. And we'll just talk a little bit about the new album. You know, what was it like kind of writing this one?
It was important to me to, you know, have elements from... I tried to incorporate elements from our past records. And then, of course, when we do Cold records, we always have a new sound. Usually they all differentiate and from record to record. On this one, I wanted to get some old school sounds, do a couple old school sounding songs, and then, you know, the new stuff too. So it was a plus for us, and plus for the fans, win-win.
Now, it said it was recorded over some time over a few different studios. Was that, you know, convenience? Was that, hey, we've got some studio time here you can have? You know, what was the thought behind that?
It was, you know, we kind of, I had to take my time with this record because of the importance of it. You know, I hadn't did anything in 8 years, and I think I overthought everything, you know, a little too much, like many musicians do. And I was in the studio. We went to Phoenix and we did the drums and the guitars. And then we brought it back and I decided to change all the lyrics to every song. I don't know why. It's just something telling me that it needed to be better and deeper and darker, things like that, more emotional. You know, every song, the music tells me what to sing about. And I had to let that happen again for me. And I would just take long drives down the California mountains and until something hit me. And, you know, I didn't rush it this time, man. I took my time and I hope that shows up in the quality of the record at the end of it all.
It absolutely does. Are you a person that kind of needs a deadline? Would we still be rewriting this album had you not had to put it out?
Yeah. I think that happens with every record, and many artists, you know, you finish a product and there's always little things that you go, oh, why didn't I do that? However, I will say that, you know, we spent so much time on this. By the end result, I was pretty locked in with it, and I think it is what it needs to be. So...
Now, you had said that this is the first album in 8 years, and I do feel like, and I could be wrong, but I do feel like there was a lot over the last 8 years of Scooter posting a photo from a studio or Scooter playing an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Like, is this a new song? You know, there's a lot of teases out there. Was that a lot of the start and stop we were talking about?
I mean, you know, it was hard because as we're creating the record, and it seems to be flowing correctly, I just go, okay, we're close, you know, we're right there. We could have this done in 6 months. It's going to be okay. I can start posting things and, get people excited. And, you know, that was probably not a good idea because right when I finished the entire song, I was like going, it could be better. So I wanted to redo it and that kind of delayed everything a little more. And then, you know, life happens, man, with the family and things that were going on, the things we can't stop, happened during all that. And that delayed it a bit too. And I hate telling fans that something's happening and then it kind of leave them hanging like that. But at the end of it all, man, the most important thing is they have this record for the rest of their life and they're able to go back to that periodically through their life and possibly help them as it helps me. So it's that important when I put a record out. I just don't put a record out to meet a deadline or anything like that. However, when a deadline is given to us, you know, you get, and I get inspired by things like that. And I think it makes me work better and faster and just get things done. So it's a double-edged sword with a deadline.
With the Cold Army, the Cold fans, they've always been a very vocal group. You know, anytime I post stuff, you know, this show is a little bit based in the new metal world. You know, that's the world I grew up in. And so when you talk about new metal bands, you know, Cold always comes up in that. The fans, you know, got the spider tattoos everywhere. You know, after all these years, man, how much does it warm your heart to kind of see the fans still out there, you know, championing the name.
Yeah, you know, still getting the spider on them, you know. The whole time, even when we were on break and not doing anything, the fandom, you know, they're just such a nice group of people. I've been touring for so long, and, you know, Colts had success, but we've never had crazy big success to where we've been able to play venues and have connection with our fans that maybe other people aren't allowed to have because of the situation. And, you know, through all those years and playing those venues and being with them, it really is more like a family than it is fans to me. Like certain places in the country, you know, Texas and California and Chicago, New York, it feels like a family reunion in a way. It's awkward. And we are lucky to have the kindest, coolest people to be our fans. Like, no matter what bands we bring out, you know, everybody, they're very acceptable of other music. And I'm really proud of our fan base, man.
How does it feel for you to be lumped into that new metal world, even though you guys are maybe a little bit more of a, just more of a hard rock, straight ahead hard rock band?
We definitely never called ourselves that. So that was the title that was, you know, put on our head because of the bands that we played with, the things that we were in, and just the associations. And hey, man, call it what you want. At the end of the day, if you listen to the music and you feel it, that's all I need. I don't care what they name it. So, you know, they can, whatever, it's okay. As long as when you hear the music, it sounds good. I don't know. Titles to me are kind of strange because, you know, they evolve. You know, I always thought Cold of Mourn, alternative rock band. You know, you listen to the first record and that's definitely a bizarre record. You know, the first and second, you have the heaviness of heavy rock bands, and then you go into a thing where it's an acoustic song with a bunch of weird sounds and surreal things happening, and it's just you know, it's a different vibe. Like, I don't think you could deem that active rock. If you heard it, you'd be like, I don't know what the fuck this is. However, it makes me feel a certain kind of way, and, you know, that's what we've always tried to do. Just play what we play, not get locked into any kind of genre.
You know, I've had guys from Limp Bizkit, Korn, Slipknot, you know, Soulfly, all the guys that have recorded with Ross on here, and just kind of yeah, going back, you know, was he throwing flower pots at you, you know, while you were recording and screaming at you?
You know what, man? Ross has his ways, and he has it. He wants you to go there to the darkest places when you're delivering the song. I'll say this about Ross Robinson. I did Killer in the Star. I did my solo project with him a few years ago just because I needed to have him back in my life to experience that again. Because the first time we were out in Malibu and we were with Ross and we were doing the record, my first record, of course, I'm going in there to sing in the booth, and we're doing it every day. You just go in there and you're going through the motions and you're singing. And he walks in the booth and he goes, man, you mind if I sit down with you here? And I was like, of course. And he goes, let me tell you one thing, dude. He goes, you know, it's great to be in a band. It's great to play music for people. He goes, but if you can't translate that feeling that came from when the time that you wrote that song and you had those emotions on that microphone right now, then they're not going to feel it. He goes, so you have to go back to that place. And when you step up to a microphone at any time, no matter it's live, no matter it's recording, he goes, you have to go to that place, put yourself in there and make the people feel what you feel. And it's something that I've taken with me throughout my entire career. You know, every time I put a mic in front of me, that little thing that Ross said comes to me. And when I doubt myself, I think about what he said again. And then I go there. It's kind of like method acting, you know, like Ross has a way of pulling people into a different world so they can create the kind of music that he needs them to do and that he knows they can do. He pulls it out of you. And, yeah, man, he has some different ways of bringing that out. And I would never, I don't think I would ever divulge any of that, but, yeah, it was, it's just his method, man. And I trust in him and I believe in him. I'll always be, you know, he started my career. He was the one that came down to Jacksonville with Fred. And I walked in the house one night and I was so scared, because Fred was like, dude, you got to come over and play for Ross Robinson. And I was like, oh, well, shit. He goes, just play an acoustic song. Just play those sad songs you play. And I walked in there and I was so nervous. I went to a little bar and I drank too many drinks. I put on a cowboy hat. I walked in the Fred's house and I played Ugly and Stripper Down. Halfway through Ugly, he stopped and he was like, dude, he was like, stop. He was like, what are you doing right now? Like, first of all, you got a record deal. So we're going to go make a record next month. He was going, that what you just did was insane. And I was like, oh, good. You know, thank you. I've been working my entire life. I was 27 at the time, about to give up on music. And it's odd how Fred called the night before I was about to go sign up for, I was going turf school in Palatka, Florida, to work on golf courses. Yeah, and Fred called the night before, and next day I'm playing for Ross Robinson. A week later, I'm out in Los Angeles signing a record deal.
Well, I had like a 2-hour conversation with Wes Borland on the show a couple of years ago, and he was just singing your praises. Like, he was talking about, I think something, if and it's been a while, so it was one of those, if he hadn't join Limp Bizkit, I think he was trying to do something with you. You know, he was just like, the Scooter's a genius kind of thing.
You know, me and Wes used to be in a band called Kronk. You know, we grew up in Jacksonville together. And he was in a band with his brother. And we were in a band called Grundig. And they would always play with us and open up for us. And we would share shows. I think we even played at his dad's church one time. Which was odd because of the content of our songs, even his songs. I was like, well, did they know what we're talking about right here? However, yeah, we grew up together, you know, and I think Grundig was always a big influence on a lot of bands from Jacksonville, you know, like, for instance, Sam Rivers and John Otto. John Otto played on my solo project with me, and I was just reconnecting with them a couple of weeks ago to do another Killer in the Star 2. And they, you know, Sam was saying the same thing kind of West said, you know, he goes, man, you know how big of fans we have been since, you know, we were kids. And that just translated. And that's why Fred called to let me come and play some sad songs, because they had sat around and heard Grundig during their youth, you know? So man, I'm very thankful for that. And not only that, for West or any of those guys to say that about me is just an honor, because they're all top tier musicians. It's beautiful, man. I love that.
I mean, plus with having Ross, even though he was in doing the Korn stuff and the Limp Bizkit stuff, you know, at his soul, I mean, he's a Cure fan, you know, he wanted to do a Cure album. So, I mean, he gets it, you know, he gets sad songs too.
No, he gets it all, man. And Ross, I don't know if it matters what kind of music it is, man. As long as the artist is open and just lets it all bleed out. You know, if they can do that, which, of course, Robert Smith does, good Lord, he's one of my favorite. If he can work with that artist and the artist lets it go, he'll do a record with him and he'll give it his all, man. It's everything inside him. Is music, Ross Robinson.
The one thing I noticed about the band, which is funny, you're talking about you were 27 and almost kind of gave up, because when I looked at the wiki today, I mean, I knew about Grundig, but I didn't know a lot about it. So I was kind of doing a little bit more of my, you know, my Wikipedia research, and I didn't realize that band started in 86. So, I mean, you were doing it for like 11 years before the first album even came out.
Man, we started, I mean, we were in a few other bands when we were kids, but me, Sam, and Jeremy always played together. I think the first one was called Mad Hatter and Dog Show Indian. Just crazy things.
I love band names.
Yeah, and then Diablos. Me and Sam were in Diablos, and And then, yeah, when Grundig was in between that, like right after Mad Hatter, me and we started Grundig, and that kind of took off in Jacksonville to where we kind of had ran the gamut there. The shows were big. It was a little insane because it was back in the grunge days. So everybody was pitting and jumping off things. And every show that we played in Jacksonville, we had police lined up around the building with ambulances waiting outside for whoever's going to get hurt first. It was kind of sketchy. So we had did our thing in Jacksonville. So we're like, let's go to Atlanta. So we take Grundig to Atlanta thinking, yes, we can take over there. Like we took over Jacksonville. There was kind of a different scene in Atlanta at the time. It was the REM, you know, kind of vibe, and didn't work out so well. What However, we, oh man, shoot. 90, maybe 92, 91, so 93 maybe. And then early 90s.
So Stuck Mojo's running around down there somewhere?
Yeah, so this is what happened. So we tried to play the cool clubs in Five Points there, thinking we're just going to go on, they're going to give us shows. But it was a lot of more independent style bands, and we just couldn't get any good shows. And so we get taken out to this one bar called Magruder's. It was out in kind of the sticks of Atlanta. I forget the exact name of the little town it was in, but it was this place, and it was just a little kind of, it was a nice little place, man, but not the best place. So we go out to play, and we end up playing with this band called Crawl Space.
Oh, nice.
And Stuck Mojo was playing there, right? And so, yeah, so we're sitting there playing with these guys, and basically we would play every weekend, and they would rotate, and it was our three bands. They would, like, put the darker metal bands out in the sticks. And we kind of got a relationship there. I mean, the funny thing about that, I was in playing years later when we were signed, I was playing at the Dynamo Festival and for many thousands of people, and I was walking backstage and I see LeJean Witherspoon from Seven Dust, and that was Crawl Space, right? You know, back when we were, so we didn't know, we had changed our name to Cold. They had changed their name to Seven Dust. So neither one of us really, we were like, what are you doing here? Holy shit, man. Oh my God. We were like, you know, it was kind of the good thing of the story was, you know, we kind of got shunned and put out of this little place that we kind of got trapped in and had to play. And then years later, we're playing the giant shows overseas. So it all worked out, you know.
A couple other little points I want to hit on before we jump off here. Obviously, I'm a giant Weezer fan, and Stupid Girl, was it written with Rivers Cuomo? Was that the story there?
It was, man. What happened with that is I did the music for it, and I kept doing the riff, and we just were like, all right, look, we have to record this song. It's a heavier song. It sounds cool. But in my mind, it was a kind of a heavy metal Weezer riff. However, every time, like I was saying earlier, every time I play a song, the music kind of tells me what to play. For some reason, this song, the music wouldn't give me the melody, the lyric, anything. And I think Weezer had gotten on Interscope at the time too, or Geffen. And we were having a party at our house, and it was close to Beverly Hills in Los Angeles. And Rivers had come over, and a bunch of rock, it was basically a bunch of rock bands at our house, Cypress Hill, Rivers, Limp Bizkit, all kinds of people. So we started talking, kind of, you know, built off a little, you know, meeting there. And then I was like, dude, I have a song that sounds like Weezer. I'd like you to hear it. I said, you know, I don't know if you've ever been into this, but maybe you could help me out with it a little bit. And, he was like, yeah, dude, sounds like Weezer on acid. he decided to help us out with it, man. And then he did all the initial like melodies and lyrics and just sent them to me. And then we got together, and I wanted to have a little bit of part of the chorus that he wrote was great. and it was full on Weezer. And I loved it because I'm a huge Weezer fan. Like, I grew up with the guitar strap and everything. Like, I was like, I want that guitar sound. Like, they were a giant influence on me. And Rivers was a huge influence. So even to just have him sending me stuff was amazing. And so when he sent it, I was like, I get it, man. Sounds like a Weezer song. I go, but I want to do the chorus lines. So I had to have something tragic in there, you know, just going away. What's wrong with my life today? I go, those are the only two lines I want. Let's try it out. And we did it. You know, it was the end of the record when we turned the song in. So we didn't think that it would even make the record, really. I was just happy to do the song with them. And of course the label hears it and they really liked it. So it became what it was, you know? And I'm thankful for Rivers being, you know, just to say that I did that in my life was a monumental moment. So I love that guy.
And that's one of those songs. And I was recently at a convention and there were people walking around and my dad showed up and he was like, you know, a lot of rock stars were there and I was trying to explain who all these people were. And so I couldn't really tell him who the name was, but I could tell him a song and he'd be like, okay, cool. And Stupid Girl, I think, is with Cold. Like, you might not know the name Cold, but you know the song Stupid Girl.
You know, it's funny that a lot of people take that song out of context. And I think, you know, it's the title and the cadence of Stupid Girl. It's just, I remember when we first put it out, half the fans were mad that we did it. And I was like, man, it's music. I just want you guys, whatever. Just, if you don't like it, listen to the other songs. Quit being a bitch. but, so, yeah, you know, and some back in the day we had, I think a few ladies even to this day, they take it up, you know, I'm like, if you listen to the lyrics, it's about, you know, just a total piece of shit. And this girl that fell for him, you know, and he kind of tricks her into falling for him over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, just like, she's going away, you know, like, what's wrong? It's like the irony of it. It's really about a stupid ass man.
And on to, you actually just recently posted that, Breaking Benjamin brought you guys out to do, Just Got Wicked. What's your history with Breaking Ben? And, I'm assuming they're fans.
Well, you know, we had grew up playing with Ben when we first started and they had opened up for Cold a little bit. And, Nick Coyle, our guitarist, actually had played in bands with Ben throughout his life, and they have that connection because we're up here in Pennsylvania. They're from the same area. They grew up together. So, you know, we'd all been friends for a long time, and Nick was just texting. It was kind of crazy. Nick was texting. We had just started rehearsal. Nick texted Ben the night before because he found out they were playing. He was like, hey, man, see, you guys are playing like 30 minutes away from us. It was cool if we come up to the show. We'd like to hang out and check you guys out. And, so Ben hits him up the next morning, which is Saturday, day of show. He's like, dude, you guys are 30 minutes away. Why don't you get the band? Let's come up and do Just Got Wicked tonight. So we were like, oh, shit. All right. So, which was very sweet of him, man. I don't think I've ever had a, you know, I've heard of artists bringing bands up to do a song with them and kind of join in on the set, but for him to want us to bring up the band and play one of our songs and him just join in was really special, man. It was really sweet. I was like, you know, and it was nice to reconnect with him. And it was funny because a lot of our old crew but now works for Ben. So it was like, I got to see everybody again. It was a nice night. And it was just, it's a beautiful show, man. That's a great tour.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Yeah, normally they would pull just you up or, you know, maybe one or two of you. But, yeah, definitely not the whole band.
Right. Well, his drummer had did the drums for us, man. It was his birthday, and we got up, and it was funny. We ran through the song twice before we got up that night and did it. So it was a little scary, but we had pulled it off enough, and, you know, we had a good time with it, so. It was nice, man. Like I said, it was very sweet of him to even let us get up there and do that night.
Very good, man. Well, the new album, The Thing We Can't Stop, like we said earlier, out September 13th on Napalm Records. You know, you guys keep posting stuff. I keep seeing it. You know, Loudwire is already talking about it being, you know, the one song is, you know, one of the best songs of 2019. you know, you're getting getting a lot of positive stuff with the Breaking Benjamin stuff. I feel like this is a good time for a new Cold record.
Hey, man, I think that the things that we've done throughout our life and, you know, the good things that we've done with our fans and connected with everybody, maybe it's coming back and it's given us some good mojo. And I hope everything is nice. You know, we're going to do what we have to do, and we're going to put on the best show we can for people. So just keep making those connections, man. That's all we can do. So, yeah, should be a good year for Cold.
The pre-order is out now. You can go and check it out. Napalm Records. Do you guys have bundles coming out? Are you going to do anything vinyl or anything special like that with this?
Yeah, we have bundles available. You can go to coldarmy.com, and we have all the bundles. The record label's tied into it also. So you could either order the bundles with, I think there's gold vinyls. There's all kinds of special things in there. So, yeah, check out coldarmy.com if anybody wants to do some cool bundles or just get the record or just get a shirt, whatever.
And you said earlier you showed up at your Ross Robinson deal with the cowboy hat on. Did you ever think of going country like Aaron Lewis?
No, and dude, I don't know why the fuck I was wearing a cowboy hat, but it was a really bad, you know, we all make bad decisions throughout our life with style moves, so that was one of them.
Good stuff,
man. You know, the cowboy hat is great for other people, it's just not for me.
All right, man, well, I appreciate you taking the time today, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother, I appreciate it.
right, huge thank you to Scooter Ward of Cold for coming on the show. One thing I didn't get to talk to him about because it just happened, but Metal Nexus reported that Sam McCandless is back in the band playing drums, and he's very visual for the band, and it's awesome to see that Cold is out there on tour right now with Sam playing drums. They will be in Lexington soon. I will hope to make it over for the show. So if you're going out to a Cold show, let me know. Take some photos, post them on the internet, and tag me in it, and I will repost those on the Talk To Me page. So make sure you're hitting up patreon.com/talktome if you want to support the podcast monetarily. If not, just share the podcast. Like the stuff, comment, engage. The higher-ups out there in the world, they are watching. So the more engagement this show gets, the more stuff I get to do, and it's a one big giant Talk To Me family. So make sure to go over to Talk To Me congregation on Facebook, join the group, and we have a lot of fun, a lot of discussion over there, a lot of debate over there. And then also make sure to follow on Instagram, Talk To Me Podcast on Instagram, at Talk To Me Talk on Twitter, talktometalk@gmail.com if you want to slip me a little note. And so for all that, I say thank you. And for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys next Thursday.